Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Z Live Off the Record with Cheval Golang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Water and Sewage Corporation, BTC, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, and the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
Afternoon and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, sitting in for Cheval Golang on this edition of Z Live. I just want to apologize very quickly for the late start. A little bit of a logistics problem, but we are here and we are here now. And we're going to talk about a topic which has been occupying the minds and the hearts and the souls of many persons over the last while. Now, sometimes the way we go at these things, we tend to over-discuss them a lot, discuss them significantly, and then we let them go. And the question that I want to pose to you today, well, I'm going to pose a couple of questions. I'm going to pose some questions, and if you are brave enough to step to the fore and answer, then certainly we can have that type of a conversation. If you're not, then you know you may anonymously share with us via our text line, and you know the text line is 42247GR96, 42247GR96. Our numbers are 323-6232, 325-4259. And 325-4316. So what is one of the big things, other than the war, other than the economy, other than the shootings, other than some of those other big issues, and you know, none of them are trivial, which are really occupying our minds at this point in time? This discussion around marital rape. I want us to take a look at it today. And I want us to be as objective as we can. I want us to be as bold as we can. Because one of the things which I've observed, and I have to be very, very careful in this whole thing, as I engage in conversations with men specifically, I have not had too many conversations with any woman on this topic. But as I engage in certain circles with males, I start to get, from time to time, what I consider to be rationalizations, which makes absolute no sense. I get scenario thrown at me, which is sensible on some level, but in a very fundamental way, parallel to the issue at play. And as a discussion continues, you get to the place where you start to look at people who you know and people who you have regard for, in some instances, very high regard, and you start to ask yourself some questions. Now, the asking of the question may not be fair, but I think it's a human thing. And the reason I say it might not be fair is because I recognize that I come to or I would come to this conversation with a bias. I have my own views and entrenched feelings about this particular issue. And so when an individual proposed to me alternative views of looking at it, which really pushes up in a significant way against what I view and what I think about it, you know, my natural instinct is to kind of step back and, you know, my bias start to come to the fore. And that is one of the things which I have to manage, because at the end of the day, a lot of persons are informed in the way they are informed. Some persons are informed by experiences. Some persons are informed by the experience of others. Some persons are informed by rumors. And some of us, by and large, are informed by the culture of the environment within which we live. Too often we discount culture. Too often we believe that our views and our learning and our thinking is always the dominant thing, which is going to trump every single level of reasoning that we engage in. The truth is, unknown to us, our culture, the way we do what we do, the dominant thing out there, whether or not it's something that you not agree with or no, it's informing you at some level. And if there is congruence between that cultural behavior, the way it is demonstrated, and the way you think, then the influence is going to be more significant. So I want to hear from you. If you're a woman out there, if you ever have had the experience of spousal abuse, spousal rape, marital rape, and you are willing, you're bold enough to call in, let's talk about it. Let's share. Let's talk about what that felt like to you. I'm not trying to ask you to relive anything traumatic, but if you are able to, if you are at a place where you have gone through an experience and have significantly healed, you are at a place where you are comfortable having the discussion, then let's talk about it. I would love to hear from you. And on the flip side, if you are a man who had the fortunate circumstance of being accused of this particular, when you know in your hearts of hearts that you, or at least you were convinced that that isn't the case, then let's have a conversation. And for everybody else, feel free to chime in and share your views on this important topic. So the one thing which we have to think about within the context of the Bahamas is that as it relates to marital rape, the Bahamas is an outlier in many ways. Many, many countries across the world have now, or has before now, really criminalized the whole idea of marital rape or spousal rape. So let me read something here to you. I think do we have a caller? I got to monitor this because I'm doing this remotely. Mr. Producer, if you have a call, just put it in the Zoom chat. We have texts. You can send those to me. Marital rape or spousal rape is the act of sexual intercourse with one spouse without spouse consent. The lack of consent is the essential element and need not involve physical violence. Marital rape is considered a form of domestic violence and sexual abuse. Although historically, sexual intercourse within marriage was regarded as a right of spouses, engaging in the act without the spouse's consent is now widely classified as rape in many societies around the world, repudiated by international conventions, and increasingly criminalized. It is within that context I say to you that, by and large, the Bahamas stands as an outlier as it relates to spousal rape or marital rape, as we tend to refer to it domestically. The issues of sexual and domestic violence within marriage and family unit, and more specifically, the issues of violence against women, have come to growing international attention from the second half of the 20th century. Still, in many countries, marital rape either remains outside the criminal law or is illegal but widely tolerated. Laws are rarely being enforced due to factors ranging from reluctance of authorities to pursue the crime to lack of public knowledge that sexual intercourse in marriage is illegal. In the Bahamas, it is not. Clearly, there is a law there which says it is not. But the question is, at this point in time, because the debate is raging, and this debate tends to be reignited every time there is a change in the administration or ever so often. And I think basically, persons ask one administration, what are you going to do about this? And at some point in time, the general populace become convinced that that administration will not do anything within this particular election cycle. And so it goes quiet. And then another administration comes around. And so in the newness of the administration, like the PLP administration is facing today, the question is again raised. Also instances of persons reporting abuse, maybe not necessarily marital rape, but there are instances where there is a flurry or a widely reported instance of this abuse, and the argument comes up again and again and then goes quiet. And part of the question I think we have to face for ourselves is the extent to which the way we are pursuing this conversation is not in and of itself detrimental to the progress, in that seemingly there is a requirement or a need for some level of pressure, for some level of advocacy. But that level of advocacy has to be consistent, and it has to be loud, and it has to be out there in your face. And the moment it starts to retreat to some measure of being in the backstage, then usually the attention goes away, only to pick itself up again, and then the momentum is reduced. So where are we today? What is it that we're looking at from the perspective of the Bahamas? Is it your proposition that the Bahamas should move speedily in criminalizing marital rape? Reading from this thing I'm quoting from, I pick up on the internet. Marital rape is more widely experienced by women, though not exclusively. And I think that is important because we have already framed this within the context of marital rape equal rape on women. And part and parcel, I think, of the challenge, and we will readily understand why this is so. Because if you go to the classic or, well, classic maybe, definition, the reigning definition, if you will, of what rape is, it's really talks, it gives you the impression or it clearly states in many ways, the English law definition, as a matter of fact, clearly states that it is about a man doing certain things with a woman. And so the offense itself, or the definition of the offense itself, is largely skewed from the man or a male being the aggressor and the female being the victim. And so we can understand the way that this usually works. There's also another side, which I think is cultural, unfortunately. And in a conversation recently, someone asked me, well, you know, if that was to happen to you, would you report it? Would you go to the police and say to the police, you were just raped? And, you know, I thought about it. I had to consider it. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not readily giving you a yes. It's not ready yet. I think, or I'd like to think of myself as a more progressive thinker. individual who is open to possibility, an individual who wants to read and develop a broad understanding of issues. But that question caused me to pause. And I've since really thought deeply about how that may have affected other individuals or other persons, and why sometimes this becomes so female-centric, because males, by and large, may have a difficulty, a challenge in, you know, kind of talking about these issues. Because, you know, in some environment, in some places, even in the general environment, you know, the response is going to be, you know, what are you dealing with? What do you mean you get raped by a woman? You know, you're not a man. And so these are things which, you know, culturally we have to be mindful of and be and sensitive in our responses, such that we don't cause individual to go deeply underground and not, you know, contemplate what it is that they're faced with and be able to deal with it out in the light of the day. Because maybe, recognizing that we are in a very patriarchal type of society, if all of a sudden you have a couple of men coming out and standing up strongly and firmly and say, I have been raped. It is marital rape. And I am demanding a change. Might it be possible? Might there be a sliver of possibility that the response to that grouping may be different? I'm not saying it is, but might it be? Could it be a circumstances where that would exert, especially if it is some very important males, persons who we see in society as being significant and important to, you know, society? Could that be? We want to hear from you. We want to have a discussion. You know the numbers. You have the text line. When we come back on the other side of the call, I want to hear your views and your opinions. You're listening to Guardian Radio Z Live. Don't move. Come right back.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Happy anniversary, my gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in US, Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
I mashed the car. The lady who ran into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Insurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
One thing there is no debate about is that PTC has the best best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your BTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to BTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with BTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
This is Radio Radio 979 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody. Come take my walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
And welcome back to Garden Global News 6.9. This is Z Live, and I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, sitting in for Chicago. Our number is to call in 325-6232-325-4259-325-4206. We're talking about this issue of narrative work. As a producer, I'm getting feedback. This matter of narrative work, I think, is very prominent and is prevalent in our society today. The debates are raging. The debates are happening in the square. They're happening on other talk shows. They're raging in various chat groups. There's a multiplicity of perspectives which have been brought to that. I listened this morning to one guest on Dwight's Morning Blend. And, you know, she very clearly and very objectively laid out some of the main issues which are at play, or which at least should be at play and which should be considered. And I believe that as a country, and this is a perspective I want to take us from today, as a country which is prominent in Christendom, we live by Christian values. It says so in the Constitution. There are persons who will readily say to you, this is a Christian country. Then we have to understand and appreciate and maybe consider how Christian it is. How Christian it is for an individual to be faced with such a possibility. I'm not saying that you're a perpetrator. I'm not saying that you're even doing anything. But to be confronted with the possibility of what that particular act entails, and be in a position to say to the persons involved that you do not agree as to the possibility of that happening. In other words, because of the implication, around the maybe a Christian, you would indicate that it is an impossibility for two persons who are married for any action between the two to be constitute rape, because from your religious perspective, you do not see it like that. So maybe it is a circumstance where we definitely need to have some discussions around, is it very Christian-like for us to maintain this type of a legislation? What say you? Good afternoon. We need our sex workers to marriage, I'm not sure what you're saying here. If you can send this back with a little bit more clarity. Lesbian girls sometimes get other street girls drunk and take it from them. And okay, you're talking about something which is outside of this whole issue of marriage. Yes, we know that there are abuse, and we know, obviously, I can't I can't tell if what you're saying here is an actual fact. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't know. But we know that there are abuse, there's sexual abuse in many, many different arenas. I do not want at this point in time to be levying any type of a blame or shining the spotlight on any particular grouping. What we're seeking to do is to have a conversation which says, is the maintenance of this law, is the maintenance of this law okay? Is it the right thing to do? Does it strike you as an individual, as a person, that this particular law does nothing to rob the individual of his or her human rights? Does it? Would you as an individual say to me that there is nothing in this type of a legislation which says individual has no right to withdraw consent? Or as a matter of fact, the issue of consent doesn't even arise because it's not needed. Would you make the argument that that is not an infringement, a fundamental infringement on a person's human rights? I would believe it. So if you ask me the question, would I feel as if my own personal human right is being abused by being in a situation like that where consent is not something which is in my power? And I would say to you unequivocally, yes, I feel that that is an infringement. And so as we sit as a country, as a part of the human arrangement, the question is, how do we want to be seen in the rest of the world in terms of our progressiveness? Is it okay for us? Are we comfortable maintaining this type of a thing, knowing fully well, or at least being conscious of multiplicity of stories that have emerged of individuals who are faced with these things and actually suffer significantly in silence? I raised a scenario on my show last week about how you would feel, and this is about me talking to men, how you would feel if you were to get a report which goes some way down the road like, hey, John, you need to come home right now. Your phone is blowing up. You have 100,000 messages. You have voice notes. You have messages. You have texts. You have WhatsApp. Really, you have to come home now. I need you to come and see me right now. Not tomorrow, right now. Something is absolutely wrong. Then the level of the message, the urgency which has been expressed, is totally out of character. And so you run home, not necessarily where you left your home nonetheless. Because the individual there is explaining to you that I believe I have just been violated. I have been raped. And the story is related to you. The information is presented to you. And you must now then, at the end of this, provide a response to this person. And the question is, what is it that you are going to say? How are you going to respond? We'll finish this on the other side of the break. But I want you to reflect on that, and I want you to stew on that, because I have what I believe is an important question. Following this, you're listening to Guardian Radio, you're listening to Z Live. Don't move, come right back.
Kiss Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the summer weather.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Hubert Edwards, and I'm sitting in for Shibaga Lang. We're having a discussion on this issue of marital rape. And the question that I was raising is, how comfortable are you? And clearly, I know it's a very sensitive topic. I know that some persons are not willing to this type of a conversation. But you have to then look within yourself and consider and contemplate whether this level of discomfort is not yet a prompting that you ought to step out, to be a little bit bolder, to speak up. Because maybe you're speaking up for someone. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to Z Live.
Very pleasant. Good day. Hello.
Hi, good day to you.
Hi, well, Edward, hope all is well with you, sir.
Most things are great, man.
And it's great for me to say that I am not biased in one way or the other, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think no matter what you're dealing with, you always have some form of bias.
Yeah, we all have biases, yeah.
Okay. But let me just say, I have a few concerns and questions, and I'm sure somebody like yourself or somebody, a lot of people who are so much more educated than me might be able to have some answers. My concern is this. I really think that when we think about the way that we legislate things, and your legislation, a spiritual law, a sacred sacrament, I think you run into a serious, serious defect, because you tend to create more problems than solutions.
Say that again.
Anytime you try to legislate a spiritual law,
okay, in relation to what we are talking about, caller.
And we believe that there are two kingdoms in this world. One is the kingdom of the world, and also inside this world is the kingdom of God that is totally different and apart from the way we operate in the worldly system.
Yeah, and but what is the connection at the point you're making, though?
Okay, I'm trying to say that there's two kingdoms in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's the kingdom of God inside the world. And only when we make the transformation and transform our hearts and minds, okay, to the knowledge and true love of God, that we recognize the principles of God, how it is so different from the principle of this world. Like, for instance, it seems almost sometimes like we can't understand it. When it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth will leave everybody in the ditch. There was different kind of stuff. And we all know the Bible. I don't have to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, see, marriage to me is a spiritual contract between a man, woman, and God.
Okay.
And that contract says simply, when you enter into that and you leave, it says everything, Sir Edward. You leave father and mother and cleave and everybody else and cleave to your husband and your wife. And then it says some important things. I never really understood it until I got deeply spiritually inclined. And if you don't do that, you will never be able to understand it and see it. You just can't. It just don't make sense. Like, for instance, it says, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and in health, until death do you part. Not until marital rape. It doesn't say things like that. Now, mind you, I don't want you to think I wouldn't lift a finger to abuse a woman and a man, or a man, not even one. But I think in the Bahamas and even elsewhere in the world, we get caught up in the fact that we can't say things sometimes spiritually. We knew it's right because we all know we are men. We cannot go against the ideals of what woman wants because it always seems offensive to them because guess why? We are dealing with people like our mothers, our daughters, our aunts, and all our female colleagues and counterparts. So you will never find a man in the Bahamas or elsewhere who could hardly say what he's really thinking about truthfulness in his heart against a woman without trying to camouflage it and make it sound flowery and it ain't so bad and all that. But men and women are different.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask you a question because you've taken us down a path and I want to ask you a direct question. Do you believe, having described what you described earlier, that it is possible? Or do you hold that it's an impossibility for a man to rape his wife?
I think, according to the
straight
kingdom,
answer. Straight answer. God, yes or no?
Let me put it this way. See, when you say that, to get to the answer that you got to deal with a lot of hypothetical situations.
No hypothetical. We are grown people. You're a male. The woman is a female. She is married to you. Right? She doesn't want to have sex with you and she contend that you raped her. Is that right? Is it right?
Okay, if you want one answer from me,
I only want one answer from you. Now, you say you have absolutely no bias.
Absolutely no.
It's not.
Not.
Why is it not?
Because according to the principles of marriage, okay, it cannot be done. It cannot happen. The rules for marriage, which is a sacred sacrament of God between a man, a woman, right, and God, sets out everything in it.
So, okay. Don't run away. I want to give you some time because I think we're onto something here, right? So basically, because of the spiritual principle involved, the two entities have become one, have they?
Right.
And therefore, it is an impossibility for the man, the male, or the female, whichever way the abuse goes.
Right.
That's the point you're making, right?
Right.
Okay. And consequently, you would argue that it's therefore okay for this particular aspect of our lives not to be criminalized, and there is consequently no such thing as marital rape.
Right.
Right. So we always have our bias. I was going to say the man. When one of the spouses, whether the male or female, goes out tonight, does something, and come home and chops off the hand of the other spouse, should that person be locked up? Talk to me.
Okay.
No. Should that person be locked up? When one spouse murders the other spouse, should that individual be locked up? Should that individual be charged for murder? Should that individual be sent to...
Okay, see? Allow me to say this. I can answer you one answer. Allow me to say this, Brother Edward. When we start to get hypothetical, we move from out the framework.
I'm no longer having a hypothetical argument with you. I accepted your premise. I accepted your initial premise, which says that we are in a spiritual relationship and consequently we are one. Is that your view?
Yes, sir.
Therefore, if I murder my wife, I should not be locked up. I should not be sent to jail. Is that not so? Because it's an impossibility for me to murder myself. Is that not so?
Well, it does say it until death do you part, right? It does say it until death do you part. But
okay, so let's not say murder then. Let's say, why is it that officers are turning steps of individual when they have a physical fight and chances are somebody get arrested? Two individuals who are married. Why is it illegal for an individual to cause harm, bodily harm, to an individual in a spiritual relationship, but not when it comes to rape? Yes, sir?
Edward.
Yes, sir.
Anytime something goes wrong in that marriage, okay? Something is wrong with the offending individual in that.
Yes. Yeah.
Something is definitely wrong, and they should either be in a... See, the thing about marriage is this, Brother Edwards. Nobody forces you to get married. Nobody. You can't get married if you're drunk or anything. You can take as long as you want, and the tenets of it is, once you've done it, understand the contract of this relationship, which is spiritual. There's no way out.
Okay.
You can
Thank
remove
you so
yourself from the home of the offended person if somebody has done you something, either party, and you could remove yourself, you could remove the children or whatever, to say that you're going to put somebody in prison. See, what happens, let me ask you a question, and I really thanks for your time. What happens, a man married a woman who is not working, okay, have five children, and he decides to have sex with her night, and she decides to put him up for rape. What happens when that man, if he is convicted, goes to prison? Does he come back home after the course of his time in prison? What happens to the marriage? How's the children going to get taken care of? How's the woman going to get taken care of? What happens? See, we open it again with one single a question, but it has so many different tentacles going everywhere around the world, and I'm sure we haven't thought about this yet. What happens then?
Thank you for your thing. I will respond to that. We have another caller, though. I will come back to that because it's a scenario which has been thrown at me before. But we'll talk to that caller. You're on Guardian Radio. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, yes. I wanted to just weigh in a little bit on the discussion, particularly from the previous caller who was talking about marriage from the context of the spirituality and what the Bible basically says about it. And, you know, what is really sad is that the Christian church, the people, the leaders today seem to be just misunderstanding the Word of God as it relates to marriage and when it comes to sex, right? The Bible does tell a husband how to treat his wife. It does. And you know what example it says? Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So any husband who thinks that it's okay for him to force himself sex when he wanted to, and she says, I don't want to, and it's okay for them to force it, he is not operating according to the word. That is not love. You cannot tell your wife you love her after you force yourself on her. What you are demonstrating is that you're a man with a lack of self-control, and you do not have the love of God in you for your wife. That's the bottom line. Because if you were to love her as Christ loved the church, Christ didn't force himself on the church. He loved her, and he took care of her, and he washed her, and he cleansed her, and he sanctified her because of his love he demonstrated towards the church. That's the example he wants you to demonstrate to your wife. So the challenge I think people are getting a little confused with, too, is this whole term of rape. As the Minister of National Security, I think, indicated, we're going to have a challenge getting convictions because of how the law probably interprets or defines rape. Okay, fine. They may have challenge with that, but it is still wrong for a husband to force himself on his wife for sexual pleasure. It is wrong. Whether you call it rape or whatever it is wrong, and it's also unloving. You cannot violate her will. Her will. God doesn't violate our will. He does not go against our will. If she says, I am not ready, then you need to find out why she ain't ready and wait until she's ready. It's going to be better. You're going to enjoy it when she is ready. But if you force yourself on her, you are operating not under God, not under the Bible, because the Bible does not give you room for that. And I think people are getting that confused and mixed up. The overlying word is love. Love your wife. Love her.
Yeah.
Don't take advantage of her. Do not abuse her. And secondly, if it gets to the point where the law has to be created, naturally, obviously, it's going to indicate that this is probably going to bring to the end that particular marriage. Because if a wife has to file a complaint against you, violating her, it's highly likely that relationship is over.
Mm-hmm.
So what men
mm-hmm.
need to understand is, before I take this to the point where my wife is going to file a complaint against me, let me try and work out what the issue is as to why she doesn't want to have sex with me. Or, you know what, let me work out what my issue is, why I want to force myself on her and can't control myself. We just have to be real with it. But the bottom line is, husbands, love your wife. Don't do anything to her that does not demonstrate love. And if you are a believer, don't do anything to her that God didn't do to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Before you go, let me ask you the question. Do you think that the law as it currently is should stand?
No, I'm sorry. Say again?
Do you think that the law as it currently is should stand?
The law as it currently is, as it relates to a woman being protected against forcible rape by her husband?
Yes.
So that is where I think the challenge comes in, because of how the law is written. I think some things need to be a little bit more clearly defined as it relates to the act, because the challenge will be in that word called rape. Even though the action is the same as raping, the challenge may be because these two people are married and there are certain things the law recognizes in marriage, there may be a challenge getting a conviction if you use the word rape. But I do think that there needs to be some provisions. It's already there, in my opinion, for abuse and assault. Okay. However, there needs to, if a wife can claim abuse, it has to be something that protects the husband against her just taking advantage of it or lying or something along that line, right? There got to be some demarcation or something has to be drawn up to ensure that this is something that actually happened and this is not just the woman lying, all right,
okay.
or whatever. Notwithstanding, if she has to go to the point of lie, that means that there's a problem in that relationship. There's something that's going on in that marriage.
I take your point. At the end of the day,
and then
not,
secondly,
too,
a lot of these abuse to the female is happening where couples are estranged, husband and wife not living together, and the husband finds where she's at or comes home and forces himself on her. Mm-hmm. You know, there needs to be some type of protection against that, because I think that is where the majority of these types of events are happening, in those estranged marriages. And in those instances, I think something needs to be in place to protect that woman. I agree, because the man is out of control. Any man who's doing that to his wife is out of control.
Okay, Carla, thank you so much. But, you know, I think ultimately you're not asking for the act to be changed. Texas says, men are missing the violence of this marital rape discussion, which is the point. If marriage is such a spiritual relationship and two must stay together no matter what, why is the divorce rate so high, says this individual. Tell the caller, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. So unless the Lord ordains that marriage, it would not survive, and thus divorce is probably the only answer. Mr. Edwards, in the Bahamas, marital rape is a reality because you have many couples who are legally married but physically detached. They live in different rooms, sleep in different beds, but for the sake of pride, they tolerate each other. In some Eastern country, it is a crime to deny sex to your wife. And, in the Bahamas, it's a crime. Let me not say it like that. It's not a crime to deny. But if it's taken, then obviously it doesn't amount to a crime, which is what we're dealing with. Before I go further, and I point first caller, we are going to get into this thing of, you know, being accused of something which you may not have done. And I would love to get someone's thoughts on that. It says here, this is a message from the Ministry of Health and Wellness and PAHO. The COVID epidemic isn't over. The COVID-19 vaccine and boosters are now available at South Beach Clinic on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. On Wednesday at Flamingo Gardens Clinic, 1 to 5 p.m. Elizabeth Estate, 3 to 6 p.m. and Fleming Street from 4 to 6 p.m. And also at Marathon Mall on Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Protect yourself and others by getting your COVID-19 vaccine today. Visit vax.gov.bs to register, or simply walk up to the location and you will get served. And if you have been vaccinated 5 months ago, if it's 5 months since you've been vaccinated, then don't forget to get your booster. Getting your COVID-19 vaccine booster can prevent you from missing important job opportunities and special occasion abroad. Being fully vaccinated can help you with getting a job or being able to travel. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your vaccines now so that you are ready for the job and to travel. Visit vax.gov.bs to look at the to book an appointment at your nearest government clinic or the mall at Marathon, or simply walk up to one of these locations. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be remembered to talk about the accusation part which was raised, and then I want to read some other things to you. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is Z Live. Don't move. Come right.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European and emerging markets without central bank. With financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers in New Providence and the Family Islands that the corporation will commence mass disconnections beginning Monday, March 28, 2022. On all outstanding accounts and financial agreements. Customers who have not honored their financial agreements are advised to visit their local offices to update those agreements as soon as possible. And all customers are further advised to bring their accounts up to date to avoid the disconnection of their water and sewage services without further notice.
One thing there is no debate about is that PTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your PTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to PTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with PTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is Z Live, and I am your host, Hubert Edwards, sitting in for Subhaga Leng. We are talking about this issue of marital rape, spousal abuse, and persons have their own views, persons have their own thoughts on the idea. We had two very interesting callers, but both at the end of the day, while one in the second instance was certainly against the whole act, and he laid out a very clear position as to why it's the circumstance would be inconsistent to what the Bible calls for. At the end of the day, he absolutely didn't say, well, unequivocally change the law. The first individual certainly is not against changing the law, because he takes the view that what is at play here is a spiritual relationship. We have another caller, so let's hear what our third caller has to say. You're on Guardian Radio, caller. Go ahead. Caller, go ahead. Have we lost the caller? Okay. So go ahead, caller.
Yes, Mr. Edwards. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I have a feeling that this seemed to be an issue. I mean, I haven't really seen any case in court where a female or a male, really, I mean, ran and said that he was raped by his wife. But I know their report. No,
it would not go. It cannot go to court. It's not illegal. Why would it go to court when it's not illegal?
No, I mean, where he's in court defending or trying or accusing his wife of raping her, and he's in court. Because, I mean, shouldn't it be a court matter if you rape your wife?
No, it's not. Okay. The defense, right, requires one to prove that there was no consent. Yeah?
Okay.
And
in court?
No, in the context of the Bahamian law, there is no ability to withdraw or not give your consent. So consequently, there can be no offense. At least that's how I understand it.
Okay,
if that is the case, any such accusation is not likely to get to the level where there's a court case.
Okay. Now, having said that, Mr. Edwards, wouldn't it then also prove that this is just a move by those who run the justice systems to find an avenue for lawyers to make more money? Because you know, when you go to court now, you're not going to get justice, you're going to get a service, and you're going to pay for it. So you're going to be paying the courts. You know, courts used to be banks.
You could make an argument like that. If you want to go down that road, I would not conclude that type of an argument. However, it's an argument that you can make. What I would be, or what I am more predisposed to do, is to take a view from the perspective of the individuals who are offended, whether it's a male or female, to put yourself in their shoes, to be empathetic for a moment, and to see if whether or not you can analyze the need for the continuation or the discontinuation of the law from that perspective, not from the perspective of somebody trying to create a circumstance to make money.
All right. Well, I mean, I do know that it all boils down to settling, and that should be something that you could do freely, but obviously you have to pay for it. And it boils down to settling a dispute, and you have to pay for it. So it boils down to money.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it boils down to, Ms. Evans. It boils down to money. And I think this is just a plot to just squeeze more money of people who can live naturally and don't need to complain about how their life is being shaped. If there's a serious issue, I'm sure you can find help. But when it becomes a legal issue, it comes down to money. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all.
And you have no concern that your styling is maybe diminishing the circumstance, the hurt, the pain, the challenges of some persons out there. You don't believe that at all?
Well, I feel, I see that part of it as well. I experienced that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've just been called to CID just to identify a situation. So I know how that works. But I'm just saying, Ms. Edwards, still, because of the decadency, the legal system benefits.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All so right. I just want, you know, because normally when you call me, you're a very balanced person, right?
No, listen.
I know you're a very balanced person.
You feel your pain or other people's pain, and
yes.
Okay, fine.
And I declare
I'm only putting right now today my perspective and how I feel today. Tomorrow I may feel the whole world pain and the weight of the world on my shoulders. So I feel my way today. Hmm?
Yeah, for today. And I'm just trying to make sure that the people out there don't draw any wrong conclusion about you. For today, you're only focusing on the money perspective. Not that you
I see that's
different
the end
view
of it.
On a broader issue.
All the pain that's the suffering eventually ends up in costing money.
All right.
We hadn't passed the stage and the pain that you're talking about. I'm saying at the end of it, it's going to cost you to get married. Look, man, it cost me $15 to get married and almost $15,000 to get a divorce. It's money. All right.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's take a couple of texts here. We have a few that came in just now. All in all, a man shouldn't use force or physical abuse to have sex with his wife. If physical abuse is visible, then that would be evidence of marital rape, as I think it should be called, marital being the key word. Again, this is not limited to males. It could be female, so it's spouse. And so we want to keep it, we understand culturally, we understand from reality that there may be a dominance or a significant leaning maybe towards male being the perpetrators. But remember, if we are going to discuss this thing and if we are going to come to reasonable conclusions, we have to keep it within the confines that this isn't gender specific. Now, I believe that the law should protect a spouse from a vindictive spouse to use rape charges to embarrass the other spouse. Now, I do believe the law should protect a spouse from to use rape charges. I think your statement is incomplete here. Maybe you want to resend that. My God, these men calling in seem not to understand the institution of marriage, which is not how they are interpreting. They are not understanding that we are talking about human rights. Married or not, violence and force is wrong. I want to align myself unequivocally with the last portion of your statement. They are not understanding that we are talking about human rights, whether it's in a married relationship or not, and violence or force is wrong. And I think we have to understand and appreciate that. As a human being, as a man, as a male, one must understand, if you're going to be real, you must understand that you may have been in circumstances where you may have been overzealous, where you've been more, a little bit more pushy than you should have been. But the question is, where do we draw the line? You know, we can't all pretend and walk around like we're angels and we never did try to insist when maybe we shouldn't insist. But that doesn't necessarily mean it works out to be rape or you did something wrong. But male, we must do understand that natural tendency to be insistent could be taken to the nth power. And consequently, there is the likelihood of things happening, which is not in the best interest of the other person. And so we must be mindful of that. We cannot dismiss it. So I was laying out to you a scenario where you got called home and now you have been told a story and it's now your time to respond. With one simple twist, this person that you're going to respond to is your mother. The individual you're going to be responding to is your mother. And I'm going to make it just a little bit more easy for you to take. The man isn't your father. The man is not your father. It's kind of easier. I mean, as I think about it and I think through it, the man is not your father. Let me ask you a question, my fellow male human beings. What exactly would you say to your mom? How would you characterize what she just explained to you, the pain she may have expressed? What would you do when you look on her, your mother, the woman who carried you for 9 months, who nurtured you, who grew you up? What would you do when you are faced with the trepidation, the hurt, maybe the pain, the embarrassment? Are you going to walk away and say the law says that that doesn't constitute what the law says? It doesn't constitute. What would you do? What position would you take? And so when I say to you, that I come to this conversation with a bias, and as a talk show host, I must tell you what that bias is. I must say unequivocally that that would be my position. That is the position I reason things from. Whenever there is an issue, woman rights, I reason it through the eyes of my mother. I say, if she is not allowed to go to this place, why should I go there? If this is not afforded to my mom, why would that be right? And because I have two daughters, I also reason and rationalize things through the eyes or through that lens. Now, some may make the argument that that is emotionalism. And true, there is some element of emotionalism involved in that. There is a great level of riling up which will take place. But believe me when I say to you that beyond the emotionalism, there is a part, because I am disconnected from that actual event at this point in time, thankfully, there is a recognition that I am being as honest as I can as a human being when I think about the emotion that would bubble to the fore. And that emotion, that's what I bring to the table, whether it's a discussion with, like we have it now, with individual one-on-one, or I am just reasoning two things with myself. How would you feel? What would you do? I would propose to you that many, many persons who take the view that that law is sacrosanct in that moment would totally forget, would totally not observe, would totally not want to hear anything about legality in the face of a conversation with their mother or with their daughter, maybe even a sister, an aunt, a good friend. That's the way I think we need to reason this. And I'm not saying I'm trying to convince you to move differently. The point I'm making is I believe in many ways in certain thinking and belief informed by stuff which are outside of the bright lines of what represents and what ought to be undebatable, non-negotiable human rights of the female or the male. You're listening to Guardian Radio, you're listening to Z Live. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap this up, we're going to take it home. Still want to share with you a couple of things which I believe is driving this in our thinking. It's not just here in the Bahamas, it's other places. Don't move, come right back.
Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. And I just can't keep living this way.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
When you testify in court, you're expected to tell the truth. Same goes for your insurance application form. If you don't answer every question truthfully, you could be found guilty of misrepresentation. Leaving out just one piece of information on your insurance application can lead to misrepresentation. That means your insurance company could deny your policy or refuse to pay your claim. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, protecting the interests of policyholders.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients.
You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com, visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Come back to Guardian Radio as we get into the last couple of minutes. I think this has been a vibrant and lively discussion. Obviously, there's an appetite, at least in some areas, persons on both sides of the conversation, or maybe all sides, because there are persons who are going straight down the middle who have, in my view, informed, you know, by just a different way. Some persons are Christians and they take that approach. Some individuals have grown up in an environment where, you know, they don't think there is a problem with that. There's some individuals who see themselves as being more progressive and believe that that is not the way to go. It's unchristian. And so, you know, we have a vibrant discussion. One individual says, and I think I would love to have a conversation with you, the person making this text, it's not emotionalism, it's humanist understanding, civilized thinking. Well, I am not sure about the humanist part. That's the part I would love to discuss. But I think from a personal responsibility, from just being an individual who tries to live your definition of humanist, I believe, and I'm going to be unequivocal when I say I believe that the legislation ought to be changed. A woman friend of mine tried to have sex with me one night. I fell asleep on her bed, lying on my back. I woke up, blah, 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 blah. We'll skip all of that. I push her off and told her to stop. She had told me to stop by after work to talk. That's all. No woman can rape a man unless he consents. Well, that technically isn't true, but I understand where you're coming from, because obviously you view the act of rape as simply the process by which there is penile interaction. And that's not the end all of rape at all. If you go by a legal definition, there are other means by which you as a man could be raped. So again, you know, we argue these things within limited confines, or at least enough, not totally informed by what the universe of possibilities really are. So let's get back to the last thing I want to read here that we started reading earlier. That marital rape is often a chronic form of violence for the victim, which takes place within abusive relationships. It exists in a complex web of state governments, cultural practices, and societal ideologies, which combine to influence each distinct instance and situation in varying ways. the reluctance to define non-consensual sex between married couples as a crime and to prosecute has been attributed to traditional views of marriage, interpretation of religious doctrines, ideas about male and female sexuality, and to cultural expectation of subordination of a wife to her husband, views which continue to be common in many parts of the world. These views of marriage and sexuality started to be challenged and in most Western countries from the 1960s and 70s, especially by second wave feminism, leading to an acknowledgement of the woman's right to self-determination, that is control of all matters relating to her body, and the withdrawal of the exemption or defense of marital rape. So I think that kind of set the context so we understand that, yes, there are nuances, there are cultural nuances, there are religious nuances, there are traditional nuances, there are the view, this institution of marriage, or sometimes not even marriage, because, you know, persons in non-marital relationship also face the abuse of rape. But oftentimes from the perspective of the woman, it is a lot of time this idea of the subordination of woman to men, and the men having this supposedly dominant power over the woman and her ability to choose. And the fact that in many instances that gets then interpreted, not necessarily an individual sets out and just says, this is what I'm going to conclude. But at the end of the day, it boils down to, because those views are hard held and sometimes hardwired into us by our environment, unknown to us, subconsciously steeped into us, we see women, and I'm talking to the men now, we see women a lot as, you know, implements of satisfaction, implements of, you know, our whims and fancies. And in latter times, since I am one of those old traditional person, in latter times we have seen the switch to the female, maybe the younger, more hip group. But this thinking has been transformed where male too has become objectified. And so you find that across the board, these things happen from male to female and female to male. And so we have to now start to think, we now have to start to ask ourselves, in what conversation are we going to come down on? At the end of the day, whether the law is changed or not, the view would be for us as human beings to conduct ourselves in such a way that it becomes unnecessary. But being smart enough as a human being and being on this earth long enough, we know that there are going to be instances. And we also know that there's going to be dominance in relationships. There are going to be persons who have, you know, behaviors which are outside the bright lines of what we consider to be morally sound. And consequently, because the law is what the law should be, and that is by and large for the protection of individuals and the protection of the citizenry, it becomes necessary for us to consider, how do we protect individuals who find themselves in this weakened position? Or should the law continue to further weaken the foundation of these individuals to exist as human beings, force them into the dark, cause them to languish in pain and with significant hurt and challenges? Or are we going to create a facilitation where we can confront and rescue and make things become that much better for many, many individuals out there? So what are your views? What do you think? Do you think it should stay, or do you think it should go? My unequivocal answer is it should go. I believe it should go. I believe that the countries in the world who have made the switch are generally more progressive societies. I believe that the Bahamas, by and large, we have some nuances, yes, but by and large, the Bahamas is as equal to those countries. But there are some things which have held us back. One of the arguments that have been made, and I've heard it, is that women themselves have not been kind to themselves. One person threw at me, well, you know, women had the opportunity to change the constitution, but did not. As a people, as a part of the human race, we now need to start to rethink. We now need to start to re-understand, to re-evaluate how the actions we take impact not just us, but impact those of our human family, our brothers, our sisters, our nieces, nephew, mother, grandmother, how everything becomes part and parcel of what we are and the potential for what we can become. And so I will close here by saying, you have your bias, just like I do, but let's sit down and let's reason this thing out. Understand that it's a sensitive issue, a very sensitive issue. And so when we go to this conversation, we should go to it in a sensitive manner. Don't say you wrong or you right or you fool or no. Let's go about it and let's hear the other side. But at the end of the day, I think we should make sure that this argument turns on the thing which I think is most fundamental. We should ask and answer the question, does the existing legislation, as it stands, as we practice it, is it consistent with upholding the human rights of spouses to the fullest level possible? And if your answer is yes or no, then be satisfied with that. But at the end of the day, I believe that is the debate that turns. You have been listening to Guardian Radio 96.9. I am your host, Hubert Edwards, on Z Live, sitting in for Shivago Len. It was certainly a pleasure to host this show. I want to say to you, take care, walk good, be mindful. COVID isn't over. You have to protect yourself. And I want everyone out there to be good, do good, one love, and Ubuntu.